This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey here with you until 10:35. Thanks so much for finding us. Let's go out to the Fan Hotline, where we find former Pirates pitcher and current Pirates broadcaster Stephen Brault. Want to talk about all things Buccos. Stephen, what's going on, man?
It's going great, Jason. You know, long-time listener, first-time caller. So glad you could have me on the show.
I was wondering how long it would take for you to be not serious in about 2 seconds. Nice.
Yeah,
work.
About 2 seconds. You know, I used to listen to radio shows all the time growing up. It's like what I did in the mornings before I went to school. So I always wanted to say that. So it's the first time I've ever actually said that on a radio show.
Have you ever been a caller on a radio show? I mean, technically we called you, but have you ever called into a radio show?
Yeah, one time I did. I actually am one for one. I won 4 tickets to a water park near my house when I was like 16 or 17 years old on a radio show. And so I decided I'm never going to do it again because I want to keep that perfect record, you know?
That's good. And I definitely don't have any water park tickets to give you.
Well, then what's the point?
I can give you directions to Sandcastle. That's about all I got. All right, man. So I appreciate you hopping on with me. Good discussion. And I'm sorry, you would probably love to be on the road going back to San Diego, but you are in Pittsburgh, correct?
I am in Pittsburgh, yes. I actually did get to go to one of the games the Pirates played against the Padres last year in San Diego because I was in L.A. for the series before that. And then followed the team to San Diego with my parents. Man, love watching games there. Didn't get, you know, I haven't gotten to do it very much as an adult other than when we were playing there. So it's nice to have a different experience, but I think we got a good series coming up. I really do.
I know. The Pirates are in a pretty good, interesting place. I'm encouraged by it. What did you make of the Arizona series and where we find the Buccos right now? What did you like seeing that?
So there's a few things that I really liked about that. One, you know, you go in, you play a team like the Diamondbacks who have, obviously, they've had their struggles this year, but they're still a great offensive team, and you're able to keep them down enough to make sure that the offense got some time. But it's been fun to watch the offense actually start to move a little bit, you know. Obviously, really slow start. It's getting to see these guys kind of start to come through. Canario, Davis, you know, obviously, we can talk about Paul Skenes forever, but it's the extra guys, right? The guys who fill out the lineup. They're going to be the guys that if this team is going to play well, they're going to have to play well. So it's nice to see that happening.
Yeah, and Henry Davis is one of those guys I wanted to ask you about specifically, Stephen. My assumption from the outside was that he has to catch more going forward, right? I mean, how would you play this with him? What do you sort of expect?
You know, it's tough. So this is one of those situations where the Pirates almost got themselves, you know, you always talk about starting pitching has always been the, well, you have too many options. Now it seems like catching has become the you have too many options situation on the Pirates, which is a good problem to have, obviously, because you got Joey Bart going on the IL, concussion protocol. That's at least a week. So now, I mean, Henry Davis is going to have time to play every day. And the way he's been playing, I agree. It's hard to imagine not putting him in the lineup, but you kind of stuck because you got, what are you going to do with Bart when he comes back? I mean, he's been one of your more consistent hitters, but then Kutch has been one of your more consistent hitters and he's got a DH. So it kind of backs you into a corner a little bit, unfortunately, to get all those guys in the lineup as much as possible. So it's a good problem to have, but you know, it is, it will be interesting to see how Henry and Bart are deployed. If Henry keeps hitting the way he is.
Did you have any overlap with Henry? Because I know your last year with the Pirates was 21. He was drafted in 21. I don't know why the ships would have passed, but did you have any sort of meaningful interaction with him?
No, I've only talked to Henry since becoming part of the dark side, you know, the media over here. I never got to meet him before when I was still playing. I think I may have met him, you know, but it wasn't anything that I got to know him at all.
Yeah. Okay. So the Pirates are 9-10 under Donnie Kelly, Steven. They've won 6 of 9. Playing some better ball. I think they've shown some fight late in games. I think we're seeing some impact that Donnie has had. What have you taken away from Donnie Kelly as a manager so far?
So when a manager gets changed, but nothing else really gets changed, right? There's no big roster moves. There's no big front office moves, anything like that. The question is always, you know, how much is actually going to change? And with what Donnie's been doing, it kind of seems like just the message is clear. You know, the message is we are going to go out and play hard and continue to play hard and make mistakes sometimes because of that. But, you know, we're going to continue doing that because that's how we believe we can win these games. We're seeing a lot more stolen bases late in games and high pressure situations, seeing a little bit more action in general. I think actually there was a hit and run yesterday with O'Neill Cruz on first. I think it was, but it didn't matter because Triola still second was safe anyway. But I think you're seeing with Donnie is more, it's nice to see a manager come out and just say, you know, this is what we're doing. We want these guys to be more aggressive. When IKF made the throwing error, he was asked about that back behind second base. He made a bad throw over to first, and Donnie came out after the game and just said, I'm not going to tell him not to do that. I want him to do that. And I think that kind of standing behind your players through the mistakes and everything, I think that can be really helpful. So what has he really changed? I don't know, but it does seem like it's a little bit lighter, if you will. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, I know. I asked Reynolds that question, and he had a similar answer. Like you said, it's hard to articulate, but I think the Isaiah Kiner-Falefa thing is interesting. Where, yeah, I mean, he said he didn't want his guys playing tentative. He wants them to try to make that play. He wants them to think that they can make every play. I like that. You know what else I like, Steven, is the way he's used Alexander Canario. And you're not, you know, dropping him in for one game, sitting him for three, dropping him in, sitting. Like, no player on the planet can get into a rhythm like that, but they've just stuck by him. They've played him a lot. What have you made of how they've used Canario and just, you know, maybe where can this go?
So I always think that a guy who's got a lot of swing and miss, you're really going to get the most value out of them if you play them every day. That's how it works. Because if they're only going to get at bats every now and then, you know, you play once every 4 or 5 days. Let's say you go 0-for-4, and now you got to wait 4 more days. That doesn't help, obviously, any hitter. But guys who swing and miss a lot, it's hard to get a consistent approach. And Canario, I think that was his problem. I think it's the same problem that Michael A. Taylor had last year. I think a guy like that who they're going to go through bad stretches, but you have to suffer through the bad stretches because over 162 games, they'll end up giving you some really nice numbers. And I think that's what Canario can be. I don't think he's ever really gotten that opportunity. But if you watch his swing, I mean, you put Starling Marte video right next to it and find me 5 differences in those pictures. It's really hard to do. And he's very athletic. He's really strong. You're okay with the swing and miss, especially because he's been showing recently that he's, you know, able to change that approach with 2 strikes. But I think you're right. All of that really comes from being able to play every day so you can make those little adjustments. Some guys are really good off the bench. Some guys are not going to be good off the bench. I don't think Canario is ever going to be a Matt Stairs type of guy. But I think if you play him every day, he could be a very solid everyday regular, especially if his defense, you know, keeps improving the way it seems like it has recently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Fan Evening Show chatting with former Pirates pitcher and current Pirates broadcaster Steven Brault. Steven, the Michael A. Taylor comparison is a good one, and I think that's interesting. We've seen similar stuff with Taylor, Rowdy Tellez, other guys who have kind of been in and out of the lineup. Do you think that has maybe contributed to guys not getting comfortable, where they're not getting regular reps, and just some guys need that?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think it's the same thing with pitchers, you know, who have been starters their whole lives and get brought up as a reliever. I think that's really, really hard to do, but we just saw Braxton Ashcraft do it flawlessly in his major league debut. But I think that there's, you know, sometimes there's a mentality shift. People think they have to be something different if they're only playing once every 4 days on the defensive side. Because think about it. If you're only playing that one day, it's like, well, I got to get my hits today. I got to get my stolen bases today. Whatever it is that you do, you can't say, all right, over this next 2 weeks, I'm going to be able to put numbers together. No, I have to do it all right now. Otherwise, I'm not going to play again. So yeah, I think that can really, that can definitely make things difficult. And for a guy like Canario, like I said, he's got a lot of swing and miss. You want him taking and seeing as much live pitching as possible, I think, for him to make the adjustments to be able to hit those balls that are down the middle, which is exactly what Henry Davis has been doing too. It's not necessarily about changing some big thing in your swing. It's about changing your approach and realizing what pitches you can actually hit well. And I think that's hard to do if you're not playing every day.
I did want to ask you a little bit about Paul Skeens, and I wanted to ask it this way. You were a guy, I remember at the tail end of your career, you got to a point where you would throw a fastball like all the time because guys couldn't hit it, and you would just feed fastballs. Here's this dude throwing like 6-7 pitches. As a pitcher, how hard is it to maintain that many different weapons?
You know, we talk about that a lot. In baseball, in my part of the world, when it comes to baseball, all my friends, we always talked about you want to make sure that the pitches you're throwing, whatever you're throwing, are one, all useful. You have a reason that you like to use them. It's not just, oh, I also want a cutter to be able to throw it. No, you have to be able to justify why you want to throw that pitch. But then the other part of it is that the pitches cannot bleed into each other, because then you end up with one pitch in the middle of a curveball and a slider instead of, you know, two completely distinct looks for a hitter. And Paul Skeens is on a different level. He can do that. He can do that with 7 different pitches, and he can also do it while throwing 100 miles an hour and spotting up. That's just, I mean, it is a different kind of beast you're seeing out there. I mean, he leaves Major League Baseball in innings. I believe Zach Wheeler is pitching right now and could overtake him, but he's been so consistent this year, even though it was a quote-unquote slow start for him to the year. We didn't actually see him last year before that time. So this year in the big leagues, he gets up to that mid-May level where he came up last year, and now he's looking as dominant as ever. And I can't imagine what we're going to see the rest of the season. But, yeah, if you can throw that many pitches the way he does, I mean, go for it. Absolutely. Throw more pitches if they're all good pitches. It's just a lot of times people end up throwing a worse, you know, they throw a slider even though their sweeper is way better just because somebody told them it would help them. I think Skeens develops these pitches because he genuinely believes and knows when he's going to want to use them, and it's worked out pretty darn well.
Joined on this Fan Evening Show by Stephen Brault, Pirates broadcaster, former Pirates pitcher. Last question for you, Stephen, and this was being talked about online a little bit with Braxton Ashcraft's debut and Hannah Mears interviewing his parents and these sort of moments. Do you remember your MLB debut? Were your parents interviewed? What was that like?
Yes, my parents were interviewed, and I'll tell you exactly what it was like, Jason. They asked my dad something about pitching in the big leagues, and my dad responded, well, he was actually always a better hitter than he was a pitcher, which is like a good compliment. But also, you know, it's like, but I am pitching now, you know, in the major leagues. So, but no, it was great. I actually know for a fact that at least my mom is listening right now. So hi, Mom. But it's, you know, it was amazing to get to see my parents get interviewed. I know, I mean, they've been there for me the whole time. Every time I watch parents get interviewed, it makes my heart happy because I remember how happy it made me when I went back and watched my debut and saw my parents getting interviewed on TV. It's such a cool experience. I always love it for parents. It's always tough when the debut doesn't go well. And then the parents, you know, obviously they're still very happy to be there, but there's a little bit of a more somber tone to it. But luckily things went all right for me in my debut. So it was amazing. I'll never forget it. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Stephen Brawl, thanks so much. I appreciate it. When are you back?
I'm back tomorrow, baby. Late night. Let's stay up super late together and watch the Pirates beat the Padres.
I will be there.
At 9:40 tomorrow night. We're still doing a post game after the show, just for all you late night people.
I'll be there. I'll be watching you. Thanks, brother. You're a treat.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, later on. Stephen Brault, one of the all-time greats. Just you won't find a nicer person, more entertaining. He's doing the broadcast stuff now, if anybody has not caught on to that. And he's doing an absolutely incredible job. And I love Brault's approach to it. Had him on. I have a podcast, the Post-Gazette, called Saturday Conversations, and we catch up with various people, former athletes and people in the media market about their process and that sort of thing. And I couldn't wait to have Stephen on. I've talked to him about this, about how he's transitioned over to this side. And there's a lot of people that, you know, just kind of take for granted that they're a professional athlete and they can do whatever they want and people should, you know, give them whatever job that they want. And that's the exact opposite approach that Brault has taken. You might know Brault's story from what's been written about, but he also doesn't want to be a typical post-playing color commentator, which I think is even more respectable. He wants to be a play-by-play voice. I remember at the winter meetings a couple years ago, him telling me he wants to get to a point where they know him as Stephen Brault, the play-by-play man. And, oh yeah, he played a little bit too. And I have no doubt that he'll get there. He started learning how to call games. He would just cue up a game and mute the sound from MLB.TV, and he would learn about the teams and would keep score and work on his calls and all of the nuance, and he'd record it, and he'd do at least one game a day, and then he'd go back and sort of review himself. And he had friends in broadcasting and people he'd get to know, and he'd send him his tapes and saying, like, where can I get better? Where can I get better? Where can I get better? So it's very cool. I think he's fantastic on Sportsnet Pittsburgh, and obviously a lot of great insight there. I actually want to talk about something that Stephen said specifically. It's what I went back at him with following up about the comparison with Michael A. Taylor and some issues that the Pirates have had bringing in guys and igniting offense. I think Stephen might have been articulating something there that's important that I, on this side, did not completely grasp. We'll pull at that a little bit when we get back. The Fan text line's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Again, wading into the waters of why the Pirates haven't been able to find offense from outside sources. There might be a reason. We'll get into that next Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.